Okay, we're going to get right into the mystery. 1 Corinthians 15, 51 through 58. What does the Bible say about death? This is part three. So, this mystery, what is this new mystery that Paul lets us know about here? He says, we shall not all sleep. And as we know that this means death, we shall not all die. Well, that's something different. Never heard that before. Everybody else has died. But we shall all be changed. So who's he talking to? He's talking to living people, living Christians. He says, not all Christians are going to die. Well, that's very interesting. I thought everybody dies. We do, except one generation of Christians. That would be the last generation of Christians who are living when Christ comes at the rapture. And he'll explain that here. But we shall be changed. See, we're going to all go meet the Lord. Some meet the Lord through death, the door of death. And most people in world history, that's the way it's going to happen. But there are a few who are not going to meet the Lord through death. They just will be changed. Their bodies will be transformed into a glorified body, like a resurrected glorified body. It's just they won't have to get it through going through death. And it explains that here. And so Paul understood that this could have happened in his lifetime, but it hasn't happened for over 2,000 years. And so we understand and believe that we were closer to that day than at any other point in time in history. But whether we meet the Lord through death or meet the Lord in the air, we need to be ready. We need to be ready and watching and waiting. One, make sure that we're saved. And two, if we're saved, make sure that we're walking with him close in fellowship every day. How fast does this happen? Verse 52, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, in the blink of an eye, just like that. And since you won't even know what happened. What happened? Well, I'm with the Lord now. I was just back there on this earth. I was driving through traffic, or I was sleeping in bed, or I was just getting up, or going to work, or I was on my lunch break, or I was on vacation, or whatever happened, whatever was happening. You'll be with the Lord. Here it says, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. So the dead, so at the rapture, it's the rapture passage, when Christ comes back for his church, for the believers, the Christians, those in Christ, there will be a resurrection of the dead ones in Christ. The dead in Christ, dead shall be raised incorruptible. They'll get their resurrected bodies so that they cannot die again. They'll be immortal. And then we shall be changed. We shall be translated to be like him without passing through death. For this corruptible, I'm subject to death now, subject to death, mortal, must put on incorruption, a body that cannot die, cannot decay. And this mortal shall put on immortality. Everybody's looking for immortality. And so, well, that's how you get it. You believe in Jesus. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, whether through resurrection or at the rapture being with the Lord, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. So death is victorious as long as it can keep someone in a grave. But when someone comes out of the grave after they've died or escapes the grave through the rapture, then death is no longer victorious. But Jesus Christ, through his resurrection power, through the power of the rapture, he is victorious. It says in verse 55, O death, where's thy sting? O grave, where's thy victory? The sting of death is sin. Why do we sin? Why do we die? Because we sin. We're sinners. And the strength of sin is the law. Well, we're transgressors of the law. We break the law. The law says, put God first. We don't put God first. Don't lust, but we lust. Don't cheat, we cheat. Don't steal, we steal. don't say bad things, we say bad things. And it goes on and on and on. Love God, we don't love God. Love others, we don't love others. So we break God's laws. But thanks be to God that giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, God, because I can't yet have victory trying to do good. I just can't. It's not in me to do that. But through his shed blood, he can make me righteous. And he will if we but receive the gift of life from him. Therefore, my beloved brethren, so here, because of this, because we have this sure assuredness of a wonderful resurrection, assuredness of watching and waiting for the rapture, here's a verse for us what we should do. It gives us some motivation for godly living, to live a purified life, to live an evangelistic life, to let others know about the Lord. Therefore, my beloved brethren, the saved people, be ye steadfast, unmovable, don't budge, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Don't go faint, don't get weak, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, So working in the Lord, trusting in the Lord, watching for the Lord, waiting for the Lord, telling others about the Lord, these are not worthless things, but they're worthwhile. 2 Corinthians 5:8 says, we are confident, I say, and willing rather. Paul, what would you rather be? What is this thing that you would rather be? To be absent from the body. Wait a minute, to be absent from the body, my spirit, soul separated from my body, that's death. Yes, Paul said, willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. What happens when a believer dies? Where did he go? Where did my friend go? He's a Christian friend. He's a believer in Christ. Where did he go? Present with the Lord. He's present with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where he is. That's where he went when he's absent from the body. The opposite is true as well. Those who are not in Christ, absent from the body, are separated from the Lord and are not with the Lord and are not there with Christ in heaven. Christ rejectors on earth will be those who Christ reject in heaven. 1 Thessalonians tells us 4:13-18, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, but we should know this. He's telling us this. Concerning them which are asleep, which are dead, our loved ones in Christ, who have died in Christ, that ye sorrow not. So he doesn't say you can't be grieving at all. But ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. Because when we have a loved one die, of course, Jesus wept. That's the shortest verse in the Bible, or English Bible. And then it was at where? When at Lazarus' gravesite, where when he died. Jesus wept, and seeing the other people weeping because of what death does and what sin causes. And so, we can grieve, and yes, we can be sorrowful, but not that we won't see them again, and that not that we won't be with them in glory together. So we sorrow, but not as those who have no hope. The evolutionists would say, well, we came from nothing, we go to nothing. There's no hope after the grave. No, we've already seen that. Everyone gets resurrected when they hear Christ's voice. They all come forward, some to life and some to damnation. Some to eternal life with Christ, and some to everlasting shame and contempt. And so a thing that is not good. So everyone has that. But we have a hope. For we believe, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, he's already gone through death. He's already gone through the doorway of death. And it didn't keep him very long. The third day he rose again. And even to them also which sleep in Jesus, those who have died in Christ, have trusted in Christ, will God bring with him at the rapture when we meet the Lord in the air. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, this is what God says, this is what Christ says, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord. So here we are living our life on earth, the Lord Jesus, he comes back at the rapture, not to rule and reign, but to take his bride, to take his church, to take those who have been cleansed by the blood of Christ, those who Christ has purged and made clean and made holy and is declared righteous. And so it's his work, not ours. We just rest and trust in what he's done. So here it says that we will not prevent or go ahead of them which are asleep. So the resurrection of the righteous in Christ will happen a split second before the rapture of the church. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. Where is Christ? Well, he's in heaven. And he's going to descend, but not all the way to the earth. Descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God. Very alerting, very alarming. It's time. It's time to wake up. It's like a reveille with the Lord. And with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. The dead, not all the dead. Notice this, not the wicked dead, but only those in Christ. The dead in Christ, righteous in Christ, the church who have died, shall rise first. And then we which are alive. What does alive mean? It means we haven't died and remain left on this earth, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. We'll be changed, we'll be translated to meet the Lord where? In the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. We'll always be with our wonderful Lord, our Savior, our great Shepherd. Wherefore, and so because of this, because he tells us about those who have the resurrection of those in Christ who have died, and the translation, the changing of the saints, this will happen at the rapture. And then also he has some words that apply to this. Well, now that you have this great hope, our blessed hope of being with the Lord, wherefore comfort one another with these words. You see, these are comforting things, the prophecy and rapture, the Bible, they're comforting things for those who know Christ, those who are in Christ, those who are saved and forgiven, comforting things. So we sorrow, yes, but not as those who have no hope, but we have comfort. A lot of people are, when they have someone who has passed away close to them, a close loved one who's died, they go about looking for comfort. Sometimes they try to find comfort in things that the Lord does not approve of, or where there is no comfort. Only God can give the comfort of God. Only God can give the peace of God. Only God can give the hope of God and the joy of God and the comfort of God. So we need to look to him with these words, these Bible verses that are written right here for us. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray your whole..." Now there's three parts that we have of us. "Your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." You can say, here's another rapture passage we're looking, especially in the context, right on the heels of chapter 4. But what's going to happen here? We have a body, we know that. We know we have a non-physical part of us. Some people would say a metaphysical, beyond the physical. Well, that's true. It's called a spirit. It's called a soul. We have a soul. We have a spirit. And so all of those three parts, the spirit, the soul, and the body, will all be united together to those who are in Christ in a great glory when he comes for us. Hebrews 9:27 says, "And it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." See, there's this general rule that everybody dies on earth, and Adam all die, but yet not only that we only die once. Well, maybe there's been a couple exceptions in Scripture. There's this young man that fell out of this third story when Paul was preaching, and he fell out, and they picked him up dead. But yet, must have come to life when Paul was with him, and then because then Paul went on preaching for a little bit longer throughout the night. And then, what about other ones? Lazarus, he died, and Jesus said, "Lazarus, come forth." And he did. He came back to life, and so he must have died later on. The Scripture doesn't say what happened to these people. But it's only when the Lord or one of the Lord's, I guess you'd say a prophet or apostle in Scripture, you see something happening like this in the Old Testament as well a few times, but those are very rare exceptions. And so today we could say that it's appointed unto man once to die and after this the judgment. In other words, death is a one-way street. You're not coming back. That's it. When you die, you're gone. What about a near-death experience? Well, this verse does apply to it as well. It would say once you're dead, you're gone. You haven't saw heaven and come back. You haven't seen hell and come back. But death is a one-way street. So when you die, you go to heaven. When you die, you go to hell. One of the two. And you don't come back. And so what about those who say they have? Well, you can never doubt anybody's experience and what they say. But what we're looking at is what the Bible does say. And I guess you could evaluate what they say. And it's probably something like, well, they were resuscitated and something happened, felt like they were dead, but they really weren't, and they came back. They weren't completely dead. Their spirit hadn't fully separated from their body yet. Or it could have been just a vision that one of the devil or one of his helpers given them, and they just, what was it? The one kid said that something like that happened, and then they found out he was just lying. So it's best just to see what God says. It's appointed unto man once to die, but after this, you'll be judged for everything that you've ever said or done. And so we need to be very careful with what we say and with what we do. And again, if you're not in Christ, you need to get there as quick as you can. But that means you need to admit you're a sinner and trust Christ as your Savior. James 2:26 says, "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." So there it gives us a definition of death. Death, your body is separated from your spirit. And so the same way true is if you say that you're a Christian, you're going to show it by your life and lip. And so if you just say you're a Christian and you really don't have any kind of a changed life, well, you need to reexamine things as well. If you say you're an apple tree, show me some apples. If you say you're a peach tree, show me some peaches. If you say you're a Christian, you should at least honor Christ in what you do and what you say. Revelation 1:18 says, "I am he that liveth," this is Jesus speaking, "and was dead." Well, he died 2,000 years ago on a cross right outside Jerusalem. "And behold, I am alive forevermore." So he's not going to ever die again. "Amen. And have the keys of hell and death." So what is a key for? It's to lock a door, or it's to unlock a door. So no one ever dies. No one ever dies apart from Christ saying so. In other words, when you die, it's your time. That's it. You say, well, what about when people take their own life and they die before the Lord's ready for them? The Lord is never surprised when someone dies. He says, "Oh, I wasn't ready for you yet. I'm surprised that you're here. Oh no, not yet. Wait." God is completely in control of time. And so whether we think we're doing something that's good, that's not good, or that we're deceiving him or something, we can't trick God. But the main part of this verse here is that Christ already went through death. He was alive, they killed him, and now he's alive forever, evermore. He willingly gave up his life for us. He was a sacrifice, a ransom for us. "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away our sins, the sins of the world." We have another verse, Revelation 21:4. Here we are almost at the end of the whole Bible, and we have some good news. "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." What kind of things cause tears? Death and pain and sorrow and fear and, well, all the things that cause tears are going to be removed as far as crying for pain and all that. "And there shall be no more death." There's going to be a time when death will be no more. It says it right here. "There shall be no more death. And thus, neither sorrow. See, we talked before, don't sorrow as those who have no hope. What do you sorrow for or about? It was because of I lost my loved one. So now there's no more sorrow because there's no more death. No more crying because there's no more death. Neither shall there be any more pain because there's no more weak bodies that are subject to death and that are dying. And that for the former things are passed away. So Christ makes everything new. And now is our time to be in that eternal condition with Him. But how can we get there? Well, He's the way. Jesus said, He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, or by Him, by Jesus Christ. And so, Psalm 90, verse 12 says, so teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom, so that we may do the right thing today. Well, the best thing to do is to look to Christ and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Another verse says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Have you ever called upon Him? Have you ever talked to Him about your sinful condition and tell Him that you want to receive Christ as Savior? Well, now is a good time to do that. Tomorrow never comes. Yesterday is already gone. Today, now is the time of salvation. And our final little ditty here that's common, been around for a long time. Life is short, death is sure, sin the cause, Christ the cure. Thanks for listening.